All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry. I was a chief warrant officer, helicopter pilot in Vietnam, 1969. We want to welcome you to our benefits program. This is a really big benefits program today. We're really excited. We've got representatives from the Ann Arbor VA, Ann Arbor, Michigan, that is, and also from the Detroit, Michigan VA hospital. So we are anticipating talking about what is going on at those two great facilities. And then we're also going to be talking to our local representatives, Carol Ann Fasson and Michael Smith, about VA benefits on that side to hopefully answer your questions that you have out there. And we've got a couple so far. So I want to give you the phone number. If you do have a question for our guests, that number is 734-822-1600. Before we get into the program, I need to really thank our sponsors, because without their support, we wouldn't be here at all. So number one is Legal Help for Veterans. Legal Help for Veterans specializes in veteran disability claims. And you can call Legal Help for Veterans at 800-693-4800. That's 800-693-4800. Or you can go to their website, legalhelpforveterans.com. The National Veterans Business Development Council, better known as NVBDC, the nation's leading third-party authority for certification of veteran-owned businesses. For more information, you can go to their website. That's nvbdc.org. I should point out that NVBDC is a Detroit-based company, and that they just picked up their 100th corporate sponsor to help with the certification process. Just to remind you that the certification process means that your business is a veteran-owned business and allows you to get a little bit of preferential treatment through the government and also through many corporations that are looking for veteran-owned businesses. So check them out at mvbdc.org. The Eisenhower Center here in Ann Arbor, in Michigan, and Jacksonville, Florida, they have provide services for many people who are suffering from post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injuries. And it's not just for veterans. It's also for first responders and athletes. For more information about the Eisenhower Center, you can go to their website. That's eisenhower.com for more information. And also the Lieutenant Colonel Charles S. Kettles VA Medical Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, is sponsoring this version of Veterans Radio. And finally is U.S. Wings. And U.S. Wings is the home of the finest leather flight jackets in the world, according to them. For more information, you can go to uswings.com or give them a call at 800-650-0659. I should point out that this is the first month in quite a while that we're going to be giving away a flight jacket from U.S. Wings. We did that for a long time before COVID hit. And so now we've had people that have been registering over the last couple of weeks, and we are going to be giving away a Top Gun flight jacket to one of our listeners today. And then every last Sunday of every month during our benefits program, we will do that. So go to veteransradio.net, click on the flight jacket, and register to enter the drawing. So, okay. That gets rid of that part of the program, right? All right, so let's get started here. As I mentioned earlier, we are joined by our guests from the Detroit Veterans Administration Hospital, the John Dingell's, actually, VA down there. And I want to welcome Dr. Matter and Bill Browning from that VA facility. And so welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thanks, Dale. Glad to be here.
Okay. So my question to you is, what's going on down at the Detroit VA?
Well, we are with every VA medical center in the country. We are, still at the front lines of fighting the pandemic. And we are doing the best we can for our veterans and the community at large. We are thoroughly involved in the distribution of the Moderna vaccine. And we just learned today that VA is resuming the distribution of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. That just came earlier this afternoon. So Dr. Mata is our deputy chief of staff, and he can tell you a lot more about our vaccine clinics and our care for veterans during this pandemic.
Okay. Dr. Mata, what is going on at the Detroit VA as far as vaccinations are concerned?
We are administering the Moderna vaccine, Dale. We have started this on December 22nd, the day we received the vaccine. And we are running our vaccine clinics currently 6 days a week, Monday to Saturday. And in addition to the main vaccine clinic on the first floor of our VA, our primary care clinics are also able to vaccinate veterans. And in many times, same day appointments are available or next day appointments. So any veteran who is interested can call our call center or their primary care clinics, and they will be able to get their vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, pretty quickly. And so far, we have administered about 10,000 first doses to our veterans and about 8,000 second doses. We have the supplies on hand for the Moderna vaccine. We have administered only around 200 Janssen vaccine, but when the CDC and the FDA put a pause on that, we stopped right away. We have the stock on hand, but the VA is still studying the issue, has not given us the go-ahead to resume the Janssen vaccine.
Okay. It's Bill, do you have a number that people in the Detroit area, especially veterans, can call to get an appointment?
Yeah, they can call our general number. It's 313-576-1000. The call tree will take them to our call center. And then that way they can be transferred over to our scheduling clinic, and they'll be able to advance to the to accept a schedule for the vaccine.
Okay, that's what I wanted to do. Have you found any resistance to people, wanting to get the vaccine or not?
Yes, Dale. There is certainly vaccine hesitancy. And I would say it is more among our younger veterans. At this time, we have 33,000 veterans enrolled in the for primary care at the Detroit VA. And as I said earl 10,000 first doses, around 8,000 second doses have been administered. So we still have quite a number of veterans who can get vaccinated if they choose to. Mm-hmm. And one thing I would like to point out, because the vaccine is generally available in the community at pharmacies and county health centers, a good number of our veterans have got their vaccine on the outside as well. And as we are talking to veterans during our calls, we are capturing the vaccination on the outside. Yes, to your question, there is vaccine hesitancy, and through our social media messaging and our individual clinic visits and through text messages, we are reaching out to our veterans and encouraging them to get the vaccine. The pandemic is, the surge is quite there. And last week, as many as 8,000 new cases were being reported in the state of Michigan. So I feel that anybody who is not vaccinated should immediately drop everything and get the vaccine right now. Because we are seeing that the vaccine is very effective. And also with 180 million doses of the mRNA vaccines between Pfizer and Moderna, in the last 4 months being administered across the U.S. is pretty safe. It is safe and it's effective. So we really are encouraging any veterans who are listening, who are not vaccinated, that they should get the vaccine right away. And it's available both at the Detroit VA and the Ann Arbor VA.
Right. And I'm going to do a little segue to the Ann Arbor VA here. right now. We have Dr. Ginny Kreisman, who is the director of the medical, she's the medical director for the Ann Arbor healthcare system, and also Brian Hayes, who's a public affairs officer in Ann Arbor. Dr. Kreisman, I heard the numbers for Detroit. How are we doing in Ann Arbor with our vaccines?
So Ann Arbor's been blessed to have the Pfizer product, which came out a couple weeks earlier. So over the last 3 months, we've been able to do about 57% of our primary care veterans, which is over 27,000. In addition, that's first and second doses, about 30,000 when you include our employees. But at this date, we're actually also not only just as is Detroit and all the Michigan market healthcare systems, we're vaccinating spouses and caregivers. So if you take dad to the VA for treatment, come on in. If you're supporting him in any way, him or her as a veteran, please come on in and let us take care of you too. So we've been very successful with a lot of spouses and caregivers that way too. So we've done over 27,000. We do have some of the Johnson & Johnson product. We don't use it that much. We only used it with our employees for our event, but then we ended up having to turn it off. But this week we'll probably be turning it back on again and looking for outreaches. For example, I think on May 5th, we're going to be with the folks in Shriners in Toledo, vaccinating those folks there, down there, a partnership with them. And we're hoping to use our Johnson & Johnson product then as it goes forward. But I just want to just keep emphasizing that, currently the VA has the ability to vaccinate caregivers and health caregivers and spouses of veterans. So if you need the vaccine, just as in Ann Arbor and Detroit, we're open. Also in Saginaw and Battle Creek, we're open and we're willing to provide those services to you as soon as possible.
I think that's just terrific. Do you have the number for the Ann Arbor VA for them to call?
So, Brian, do you have the number?
Yeah, sure. It's 734-222-7100. That's directly into the vaccination clinic. In another way, if you don't remember the phone number, you can go to our website, annarbor.va.gov. It's the same for Detroit, and you can log in and you can register that way if you go into the Keep Me Informed tool. So you can register. You can go online or you can call, either way.
Okay, well, we certainly are encouraging all of our veterans and their families to get their vaccines as soon as they possibly can. I think, from a medical standpoint with Dr. Mader and Dr. Kreisman, that the herd mentality is something that we really need to take advantage of. And I want to remind all of our veterans out there that these shots are free. There's no cost involved for any of you to get these shots. And it doesn't make any difference if you're a veteran or not. But wherever you're getting your shot, you shouldn't be paying for them. These are being provided to you.
I would also offer, too, that since the Rescue Act came into play, co-pays in general are being deferred.
Right. I was going to ask that question. That's on my list for today. You're listening to Veterans Radio, and we are talking with representatives from the Ann Arbor VA and also from the Detroit VA healthcare system. So if you have any questions, you can give us a call at 734-822-1600. I know, Brian, that the Ann Arbor VA has been doing a lot of remodeling lately. I was up there the other day for an appointment, and it took me a while to get my bearings.
Well, yeah, once you get your bearings, though, isn't it gorgeous? The new first floor corridor there is just beautiful, the way they've built that. And we continue, it's sort of like, how they paint the Golden Gate Bridge. They go from one end to the other, and then they keep doing that. That's kind of how we do it, as we're building, a bigger, better VA for all of our veterans. It's just gorgeous. And not only that, but we're expanding not only in the hospital and the medical center itself, but, we've got the new community-based outpatient clinic coming online in Canton later this year. That's going to be pretty awesome. And I think Dr. Kreisman wouldn't mind if I make a little news today. We've got another clinic coming online down in Adrian, Michigan, and that's coming on later on this year too. So we've got lots of great things. We're trying to get Get out, get our fingers out to where our veterans are to make it a lot easier for them to get their VA care. Because, 90% of our veterans prefer care from the VA. So we want to make sure that we're where they are.
I think that's terrific. And I know, Bill, you're doing the same thing in the Detroit area, correct?
Correct, yeah. I mean, we're basically partnering with our community providers, too, in getting the care, the best care we possibly can to our veterans. And I know that VA across the country is certainly looked at expanding the care for its veterans. And we are certainly following suit in Detroit. You know, we're working with outreach teams, to also provide numerous things as far as, outreach is concerned with the pandemic. You know, we've had to remodel some of that and go online with that. So we've been doing a number of things, through streaming on our Facebook and, get in touch with our veterans out there, town halls, what have you. So, yeah, a number of those things have been done virtually rather than in person.
Right. Dr. Kriesman, has there been any increase in inpatient care now? Can veterans go to their appointments, or is it doing a lot more? Are they still doing a lot of Zoom evaluations?
Yeah, so we're actually doing about 10% more than we had in the past in face-to-face care. We're about 65%, or about 12 to 15% in phone, and then the rest in virtual care or the iPad or Zoom, whatever it might be, VVC. We feel that that's going to be part of it, right? You know, most folks can do that appointment virtually if it's a mental health appointment, but we are working very hard to address what we call the deferred care, which is care that was deferred during our first and second surges of COVID. And so we're really working hard to do those procedures, meet the needs of our veterans. You know, all of us want to be seen at least once a year for some type of appointment. Right. So we're really working hard to do that, even though, quite frankly, and I think Dr. Mata would agree, we're in a bit of a situation where we're just now slowly plateauing, and we've had a little bit of a surge here. We have about 10 patients in my healthcare system with COVID. We're actively pulling them from the community, and both of us, all of the Michigan Market facilities have accepted a fourth mission, which means if we need to help our community, we're here and ready for you. But we're still providing care to our veterans, including that deferred care. We're still meeting the expectations. I would say that my facility last week was working so hard to meet the needs of veterans. We had our bed status was about 95%, which means we were at full load.
I can say you guys have been busy.
Yeah, we're taking care of the COVID patients, but also still trying to meet the needs of our veterans, as is Detroit, those deferred hip. Those deferred care items that have been sitting out there for a while, we're actively working for that. I just wanted to comment also back on, Brian had brought up all the construction we're doing. We're hoping here in the near future to open up a beautiful women's health clinic at our facility. It's been a long time in coming. It meets the need of our, I'm sure Detroit has the same issue, meeting the needs of a growing population of female veterans. And we're just really looking forward to that coming online in the fall.
In the fall, that's when we're going to start?
I believe that's so. Brian, did I get that right there?
Yep, you nailed it. That's right. Should be open this fall.
Okay. I can't remember now who mentioned it. I think it was Dr. Kriesman, but I'll ask a question of any one of you about the deferment of deductibles. On healthcare. And I heard this, I think we talked briefly about it last month, about how they were going to refund the funds that some people have paid in as far as their deductibles are concerned. Could you somebody explain that to me? Because then we get to pay it back later.
So this is Dr. Kriesman. I'll tell you what I know, and I might not know at all. Ms. Sazon might know better, or Mr. Smith might know better. But from my understanding, as of April 6th, if you paid a copay, we're going to refund you. And it's not that you're deferred. I don't think you have copays until the end of the year, but I could be wrong with that.
Okay, well, we will address that topic as we find out more information. I just thought it was rather interesting that because I noticed that I haven't gotten any bills in a while, which is always good, but they always seem to catch up with you at some point. Just as a A final question, I guess, to both of your organizations. Is there anything that we should be aware of? Are there any changes that you're aware of that are coming down from on high that are going to affect our veterans?
So the only thing I would offer right now is, because we're in Michigan as opposed to other areas in the community, in their states, we're probably still limited on our visitors. And that's hard for all of our veterans because we've had to limit those visitors and availability coming forward. So that would be one thing specific to the facility. I think the co-payment or the forgiveness on the co-payment is going to go a long way in supporting our veterans through the Rescue Act and meeting and financially supporting them as they go through the next 6 months. We're all working through, hopefully, through with Harvard. That would be the biggest thing we'd say. And then that's all I have to offer right now.
All right. Well, you know, we can't help it when there are animals in the house. Bill or Dr. Mata, anything that we need to know that's going to be going on at the Detroit VA in the near future?
I think I just want to echo what Dr. Priestman is saying about visitors. I think we would really like to get visitations restarted for our inpatients, particularly those in our nursing home area. You know, our community living center patients have been without face-to-face contact with their family members for nearly 18 months now. So, I mean, it's been a tremendous, blow on their psyche to continue this. And we certainly want to retry to open those back up to the veterans.
Okay. I guess a question, because it just came to mind when you mentioned that 18 months. Have we been seeing an increase in the requests for mental health treatments, or more people asking for help?
Not so much of an increase, but we are seeing more of that deferred care. Like, you know, veterans, like the general population, have put off getting medical care through the pandemic, because a lot of veterans were, you know, like all of us, were afraid of leaving the house, getting their routine visits and routine blood work and all that. And likewise with mental health, we are seeing that, you know, veterans are coming in with a lot of stress and worry, and some of them have not have not reached out for that assistance. And now we are seeing, with the easing of the pandemic, we were seeing that veterans were coming back for their appointments and making more phone calls to schedule those. But then with the recent worsening of the surge, like in the late March and April, that puts additional stress on people, because they are afraid of exposure and all that. So that is what we are seeing. When these surges go up, then, you know, there is some decrease in the volume of face-to-face visits and all that.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you all for being on our program today. This, Dr. Ginny Kreisman, who's a medical director at the Lieutenant Colonel Charles F. Kettles VA healthcare system. Now we've got the official name. We're going to have a ceremony someday. I know that. Brian Hayes, who is our public affairs officer at the Ann Arbor VA. We've got Dr. Mata, who's the deputy chief of staff in the Detroit VA healthcare system. The John Dingell, who was named after him, his longest serving congressman, I think, in the history of the world. And also Bill Browning, who is the public, you're a chief volunteer in community relations at the Detroit VA. So I want to thank all four of you very much for being on the program. Hopefully we can reach out to you on a monthly or bi-monthly basis to see what's going on in your facilities. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you, Dale. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you all very much. All
right. Thanks, Dale. See you next time.
All right, Brian. Thank you. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to be answering your questions on VA disability benefits. So here's the number. Write it down, 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio. We will be right back.
Military veterans touch everyone's life.
I'm guessing right now you're thinking of a veteran, a close friend, relative. Maybe it's you. Even the toughest of us sometimes need help, but don't know where to turn for support. You don't need special training to help a veteran in your life. Even small actions can make a world of difference. If you know a veteran in crisis, please call the Veterans Crisis Line, 800-273-8255, 800-273-8255. A message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
And that's our good friend Michael J. Martin with the VA Shuffle. I didn't get into the verbiage of it, but my other guests. So we want to welcome you back to our program today. Joining me now on the line is Carol Ann Falzone, a retired Air Force Brigadier General who is with Legal Help for Veterans. General Falzone, how are you this afternoon?
Hey, good afternoon. Boy, wasn't that awesome to have the Detroit VA Medical Center and the Lieutenant Colonel Kettles in Ann Arbor present. I just thought it was awesome to talk about the happenings and what's going on in both of those facilities. So great.
Yeah, we're gonna reach out to the other affiliates that we have and try to bring their representatives for their VAs onto the program, you know, on one of our benefits programs. So we got to go to California, Minnesota, and my mind just went blank. Oregon. That's
well,
where it is.
Well, you know, I think Dr. Kreisman mentioned it, but it would be awesome, Dale, if we could get on one of these Saginaw, Battle Creek, and also True. Iron Mountain, because that's our Michigan veterans. And we're very fortunate to have five VA medical centers in our great state of Michigan. So kudos. That was awesome in the vicinity to talk about what they're doing.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I'd like you to be my producer. And also joining us on Zoom right now is Michael Smith, who's the executive director of the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. Michael, welcome back.
Thank you, Dale. It's good to be back. Man, it seemed like we were just here.
I know. That month went really quickly. I'm not sure what happened there. I do want to remind our audience, before I forget, that we are going to be giving away the flight jacket for U.S. Wings before the end of the program today. So stick around. You may be the winner. If you would like to get involved, go to veteransradio.net, click on the flight jacket and register to win, because we're going to keep the same list and just expand on it throughout the rest of the year. And so the next drawing will be at the end of May and then the end of June and so on and so forth. And we'll be contacting the winners and U.S. Wings will be sending you the jacket. They'll contact you to find out size and all the other things. So we're pretty excited about that. All right. So we're in the benefits portion of our program now. And I guess I'll ask both of you if you've heard any new things or if there's anything that we need to be aware of out there. No? All right. Well, we know we have one question that I wanted to address. And this came from a friend of mine. And this was the aid and dependence payment that she was receiving prior to her husband going into a nursing home, a full-time nursing home. And now she's been asked to pay back some of that funding. And Carolyn, I know you've talked to her. Could you kind of fill in our audience on that? Because it was something that we have talked about, I know, numerous times, but it's still a little confusing.
Well, it's going to be still very confusing because as when we get these emails in, and I know my good buddy Michael will agree with me, when people just ask a question, it opens up the question. And so with aid in attendance, just because you move from, say, your home to a facility, you shouldn't lose your aid in attendance, but there's many issues. If you move into a facility and you're 100% rated, if you move in to a facility because you sold your home and that becomes an asset and you're over the limit of the 127,000. So there are so many questions with all of these issues, and that's why you need to know what's going on with that particular issue, and you need to talk to somebody that's experienced. But in this case, and I think Michael would agree with me, the VA also assisted in a part of the problem, because as a change occurs, and we've talked in previous sessions, if you change your name, you change your address, you change a status, you should follow up with someone. So the VA should have notified this family because they were 100% and because the VA is taking care of his, let's say, room and board at the facility, the aid in attendance goes away. It should have gone away. There should have been a notice, but it was realized 4 years later. That becomes the problem. And finally, it catches up to you. This scenario reminds me when you know something changed in your life. You got a divorce, you should notify the VA so you could take your ex off of that. And you say, oh, I'll wait till the VA catches up with me. Well, the problem is you got to pay that back. So there might be some different circumstances for this family. We're going to work through the issues. She still is providing extra resources, and we'll see what happens down the line. But you just need to know when something changes, there might be an effect.
Michael, I know that my friend talked to you as well, and that you were talking about possibly some sort of waiver.
Well, there's two things that comes to mind, Dale, in this instance, is that when a veteran is hospitalized for his or her service-connected conditions or is hospitalized for over 21 days, the VA hospital is responsible for notifying the Veterans Benefits Administration for any payment of compensation benefits, including special monthly compensation such as aid in attendance. I think if I recall from our conversation, that was the first thing that came to mind, was the failure on the part of the VA hospital to notify the VBA side or the Veterans Benefits Administration that they had a veteran who was receiving those benefits that they had a veteran who was hospitalized, and then the VBA makes a decision on the impact it has on the payment of benefits. And in this case, it would have been to stop the additional special monthly compensation for aid in attendance, knowing that he was under VA care in this instance. So the debt that was created, sure, again, General Fasson knows this process, is to request a waiver of indebtedness. And the first thing that the veteran says is, I didn't create this debt. Number one, I personally didn't do it. Number two, I didn't try to fraud the government. And number three, I can't pay this back. It would cause a due due financial hardship if I tried to pay it back. And then they submit what's called a financial status report, a FSR, that outlines income and expenses to kind of show that there really isn't anything in that budget left to repay a debt, if anything. And then it goes to what's called the Committee on Waivers and Compromises. And that committee then makes a decision on whether to waive it. And in most cases, they will. And so that's the process that's best to do. And especially right now, since there's a VA moratorium on going after any VA debts. So this is a good time to try to pursue. And the reason I'm saying that is there's a little bit of the VA's not in full debt collection mode at this point because of the moratorium on debt collection. So it's a good time for her to be able to get some guidance, and then the VA, the Debt Management Center, and those folks are really kind people. They really try to give the best advice and guidance to veterans and their survivors about how to handle debt and how debt was created and what position they're in. They're not there just to collect debt. They're there to help people who have VA debts to manage those debts the best way possible, up to and including, yes, a waiver.
You know, the other unbelievable thought is a part of that, we're hearing 18 months with all of this COVID. And in nursing care facilities, this individual went out and provided and paid out of pocket to assist the veteran in the facility. Also can show all the expenses. And you're right on, Michael, helping, going above and beyond. You know, so yes, maybe she got that aid and attendance money. However, she put it to the use of the veteran, take care of the veteran. And as we well know, for her, that was a peace of mind. We heard about mental health issues. You're not allowed to go into the facilities to see your loved ones. So not only did he go into a facility, he was all by himself. This additional healthcare worker that she paid for, thinking she was doing the right thing because of the aid and attendance, provided her some communication with her husband. And so there's a lot of factors here. So Dale, I go back to when we get in a question, we might have to probe and ask many more questions to get the information, but we're there. I mean, Michael and I both tag team this one. And we do that in many occasions to help our veterans and their families out there.
I think I have one question that I learned as we were going back and forth on this. And that is that when the veteran went from the home into the nursing care facility for the first time, it was on a 30-day trial. I forget what the term was that one of you used with that. He went in for 30 days, and then they said, well, you know, he can't go home. He's got to stay here. And that one of you felt that might have triggered the mistake in here, because there was a homebound benefit and there's a nursing home benefit. And just to let our audience know, this nursing home benefit monetarily is worth a lot of money. I mean, the VA is paying, it's under contract, but they're paying well over $5,000 a month for this person to remain safe.
Well, and the reason that happens, so we don't want to give our audience that the VA is going to pick up everybody's long-term care. The fact that this veteran was 100%, that's what qualified them for the extra benefit, just like a tax abatement, 100%. And so 70% or greater, and it just doesn't happen automatically. You still got to ask the VA, mother, may I? It's just like going to another facility, getting into everything. You got to ask those questions. And so going back again to somebody that's experienced that could help you with this, I think is really important.
Well, it's a pretty complicated process, it sounds to me, to go through all of the benefits that so many veterans are entitled to out there that they're unfamiliar with, or they don't know how to find out what their benefits are and where they can get them. We need to take another real quick break in here. Got to get our sponsors in. So we're going to take a real quick break. The number is 734-822-1600. Please give us a call. We've got two experts here. You don't have to wait for them to return your call or anything. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. We will be right back.
The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat given a member of the Armed Forces of the United States. There have been over 3,400 recipients of the nation's highest award. This is one of them. Sergeant David Bleek, although a medical aid man, killed 3 North Korean soldiers and disarmed 2 more. Details after this. Bleek volunteered to accompany a reconnaissance patrol committed to engage the enemy and capture a prisoner for interrogation.
Forging up the rugged slope of the key terrain, the group was subjected to intense automatic weapons and small arms fire and suffered several casualties. After administering to the wounded, Bleak continued to advance with the patrol. Nearing the crest of the hill while attempting to cross the fire-swept area to attend the wounded, he came under hostile fire from a small group of the enemy concealed in a trench. Entering the trench, he closed with the enemy, killed two with his bare hands, and a third with his trench knife. Moving from the emplacement, Bleak saw a concussion grenade fall in front of a companion and, quickly shifting his position, shielded the man from the impact of the blast. Later, while ministering to the wounded, a hostile bullet struck him, but, despite the wound, Bleak undertook to evacuate the wounded comrade. As he moved down the hill with his heavy burden, two enemy soldiers with fixed bayonets attacked him. Closing with the aggressors, he grabbed them and smacked their heads together, then carried his helpless comrade down the hill to safety.
The Medal of Honor series is a production of Veterans Radio.
Are you a veteran or a military spouse interested in starting or growing an existing business? Then you want to connect with VetBiz Central, Michigan's only veteran business resource center, providing free one-on-one business counseling services, including research plans and preparing veterans to be lender ready. If you're in business, VetBiz Central offers comprehensive strategic marketing strategies to help you connect to corporations. They are one of 20 centers nationwide devoted to veteran business development through the U.S. Small Business Administration Office of Veteran Business Development. Vets helping vets. Visit their website at VetBizCentral.org or call 810-767-VETS.
And we're back here on Veterans Radio with our monthly benefits program, and we're talking with Carol Ann Falzone from Legal Help for Veterans and Michael Smith, who is the Executive Director of the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. We were talking about aid and dependence, and I know that there are many other things going on out there in addition to that one. Is there anything that the veteran should be aware of right now that I don't know if there are any new benefits or if that they could apply for or to see what's available to them? And sometimes we just don't know what all the good things that the VA is trying to do for people. We're just not aware of all of the possibilities. Is there anything that the two of you have been running into lately?
I think we talked a little bit about it last month, but it's been brought to my attention recently. Change of name, change of address has been causing some real problems in that all the VA systems don't talk to each other. And sometimes, you send your name in and you change your address, but the other system doesn't recognize it and you don't get a letter for an exam or a decision. And you find out maybe a little too late, some time has passed by. So I think it's really important to share with someone that could either make sure that the proper paperwork was sent in or some phone calls could be made. But I've been seeing that recently. And I got a question the other day with how come, I'm getting two conflicting answers regarding a rating. And so when we researched it back, it was because the address was, they had moved. And so that's what I see. I haven't seen any new presumptives coming across, any big decisions. I think we're kind of waiting to see what Congress is going to do on a few issues. That's about all that I know of. Michael, any changes with anything?
No. No, nothing. Nothing really new. We're just waiting for obviously the VA to promulgate their rules for how they're going to approach the three new presumptive conditions for exposure to Agent Orange or herbicides, such as Parkinson's-like disease, bladder cancer, and General Fasson. What's the other one?
Hypertension.
Well, hypertension didn't get passed.
Hypertension didn't get passed. It was Parkinson's-like hypothyroidism. And bladder cancer.
Right.
So we're waiting for, we're basically waiting for the VA to promulgate their rules so we know how to, so we know how they're going to process their claims and how, so that their employees will know how they're going to process those claims. There's some things coming out right now already about the Niemer decision, and the Niemer court decision always holds on those Agent Orange or herbicide related claims for survivors and veterans regarding the effective dates for certain claims for certain veterans. But other than that, you mentioned or you asked, are there certain programs similar to aid and attendance? Well, I first want to remind folks that the veteran was receiving, in this case scenario that we were talking about, the veteran was receiving special monthly compensation for his need for aid and attendance. But there's also special monthly pension for the need of aid and attendance. And we want to make sure that people understand that there's a distinction between the how and when aid and attendance is considered as a benefit and under which benefits they're paid. There's also a veteran who is receiving compensation and has a spouse who's in need of aid and attendance, and the veteran gets paid under compensation. They don't do that under pension. So we have to, now again, that special monthly compensation for aid and attendance, or that special monthly pension for aid and attendance, or the VA's paying a veteran who's receiving compensation additional benefits for having a spouse who's in need of aid and attendance, is in consideration of the cost associated with that kind of care out in the market. And with that being said, similarly, the VA looks and considers people either under the pension program or the compensation side as being housebound. Again, housebound being another special monthly compensation for those who are receiving compensation, and then again, special monthly pension for those who are being considered or who are receiving pension program. It's just another way that the VA approaches considering a person's health and its impact on his or her ability to be mobile, to be out and about. If they're relegated to their home, other than going to doctor's visits, or they have a rating of 100% for one medical condition and 60% for others combined, 60 and higher, then they're considered housebound for both pension and, so the rating side of it in terms of how a person is considered housebound or even how a person is considered in need of aid and attendance, that rating activity is pretty similar. But again, it impacts two different benefits, and the payments are significantly different, definitely.
Okay. I got a question to send to us. If a veteran is receiving benefits, I'm assuming this question.
Monthly compensation rates for a person who's
I'm losing your connection, Michael, a little bit. You're frozen up on me. Can you go out and come back in again?
I'm not saying anything. I'm listening to you. I'm saying it.
Okay. Anyway, the question is that if a veteran is receiving benefits, I'm assuming, is there a way to get spousal support from the VA? Carolyn, I'll ask you that question.
Well, it depends on, and I think Michael sort of alluded to this, but there are some benefits that the spouse could get benefits for, but, you know, they could be buried. There's DIC that we talked about before, but theoretically, the majority of the benefits are for the veteran. It's pretty unusual, and kudos to the VA for opening up the COVID vaccine to family members. It just tells how important it is to get this pandemic under control, that the VA is offering that benefit to families and loved ones, because that hasn't happened as far as I know in the past.
Right, right. I got another question for you, and that was this one came from on a text, and it's a homeless veteran, and I guess the problem is that the homeless veteran doesn't have a state ID, but the main thing that he needs is his 214, correct? I mean, that's the thing that gets you in the door.
Well, that's what gets you in the door. But if you have a homeless veteran, I would encourage him. Too bad you didn't ask that question when Dr. Kreisman and, you know, Ann Arbor and Detroit were on the phone. They have a center. They've got a homeless coordinator. If you walk in and say, yo, I'm a veteran and I'm in need of some help, they could help to start to facilitate that. Yes, you're right. You need a DD-214. You know, you need a license. But if you're homeless, you need a boatload of resources. So we got to start, you know, the working issues, and we got to get them some help. So that we got to get them into a system to start helping them. And, you know, the county counselors are great, the veteran service organizations. But we need to, you know, they need to be recognized in that position, Dale. It's not so easy just to go out and say, okay, if you're homeless, you know, but I need my DD-214 until I get it. You know, I'm going to remain homeless. But there's some other resources we could kick in and use, and we have before.
Okay, I'm just saying this message came from he's up in Bay City, so that would be the Saginaw VA that he probably would want to go into, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And there's homeless coordinators. You know, I think it's really important that you reach out and you just start somewhere to talk to somebody. County counselors are fabulous to help with any individuals through our state of Michigan.
Okay. Well, I'll pass this along because it was sent to somebody who was sent to me. So we're getting out there. People are, you know, responding to our program and are trying to help people out as much as we possibly can. And so we will answer your questions. Even, you know, it doesn't have to be the last Sunday of the month. Please just, you can go to Veterans Radio and click on the contact us button and let us know. And we'll pass these along to our experts. And that so far there's never been anybody who haven't been able to help out or at least give them a right answer.
You know what, Dale? And it's like I just had sort of an epiphany. You know, we've got our state veterans homes, which are fabulous. And the Grand Rapids has the domiciliary unit. I can't tell you how many veterans we housed at that. So for this veteran, call the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. Call 1-800-MISH-VET and identify him or her as homeless, needing some resources, and we could hopefully get this veteran some help.
We'll work on it. That's for darn sure. Okay, I think we got about 4 minutes, 3 minutes to go. Oh, so let me hang on the line here for a second. I got to get this. We got to get announce our winner here for the U.S. Wings jacket before we run out of time. Yay! So we have a winner here, and her name is Judith Ann Caraveau, C-A-R-I-V-E-A-U, and she's an Air Force veteran living in Cullowhee, North Carolina.
Yay!
Yeah, wherever that is. So I guess we'll find out. But she served in the, as I said, the United States Air Force. She was at Lackland, Francis E. Warren, and Travis Air Force Base. So, Judith, we will be contacting you and put you in touch with U.S. Wings down in Hudson, Ohio. Get your size and address, and they'll send that dude brand new flight jacket out to you. Again, I encourage people to go to our website, click on the flight jacket, register to win, and we'll be giving another one away at the end of May. And also at the end of May, we will have another benefits program with Carol Ann and Michael. And hopefully we can get some questions from you and you can help us out by helping you out. Same thing. So let me see. I got another chat question here. Nope. Okay. We'll have to find that out from Marcus for next month's program. So any closing comments from either one of you?
And these months seem like they're going quicker. Please, audience, if you have questions, we do, Michael and I have done stuff behind the scenes. We've answered questions. So if you get a question, you've got a burning issue, get it to Dale and he will give it to us. No sense waiting a whole month if something is going on and we could help you.
Right. That's right. Yes. And we strongly encourage, obviously, just by the complexity of some of our questions, is that you really do need to contract a veteran service officer wherever you live to see if they can help you out, because these are roadmaps that lead to circles and cul-de-sacs and roundabouts and everything else. So we encourage you to get the help that you can. The other thing we have 1 minute to go, as I wanted to bring up, is that for your Veterans Evaluation Services, evidently now when you are doing your compensation exams and so forth, they've outsourced that to a company called Veterans Evaluation Services. And so if you get a letter looking for that, it's not fake, folks. It's make sure you follow the letter that you get, because if you don't, your claim could be not necessarily denied, but it would be put to the bottom of the pile. So make sure you do that. We are going to, as I mentioned, we want to thank all of our sponsors here on Veterans Radio: Legal Help for Veterans, MBBDC, Eisenhower Center, U.S. Wings, the Ann Arbor VA. We want to make sure that we thank them too. Follow us on Facebook. We'll be back next week with another brand new story for you here on Veterans Radio. You are dismissed.